Okay, welcome everyone. Glad you could make it. To give you a bit of an idea of the evening, there's basically going to be two sessions. The ones my wife Sonic is going to be sharing, and then at the end of that there's going to be question time. Okay, so about 10-15 minutes for questions. There should be pieces of paper on your chairs or something so you can write down questions that you would want us to answer. Specific, if you don't want to ask it over the microphone, then you can just write it down if you want it to be anonymous. And so I want to encourage you, while we're going to do the sessions, to actually just think about while we're sharing. Maybe if there's a question that pops up, then just write it down. You might forget. Okay? Sonic is going to be speaking about how to find your life partner. Okay, so I know for the teenagers a little bit early maybe, but so we're going to talk about how to find your life partner, how to know that's the right one. And then the second session I'm going to be speaking on how to get the process of dating a positive experience, because normally it's not a very positive experience, especially if there's breakups and things like that. So we're going to give you some very powerful principles as to how to facilitate that process of actually getting it to be something positive. And we're also going to add some other things in there as well. And we would like some questions. So we're going to have a roaming microphone so you can ask questions. And we're going to show you a few video clips as well to keep it interesting. And it's probably already interesting. The topic itself is quite interesting. And yeah, so we from our side, this is serious business. Okay, this is the difference between a life of joy and a life of pain, and that's why it's so important to get some of these principles into your life so that you can have a positive experience. Okay, so I want to pray for us, and then Jonathan's going to put off the light, and then we're going to show you a video clip. Okay, I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, God, that you're a God of relationship. Lord, you are the author of love. You are the designer of a man and a woman. And you've designed us to, at some point, fall in love. And God, your will is happily ever after. And so, Father, we commit this evening into your hands. We pray that you'd speak to us and through us and speak to our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray that you'll come and establish truth in our lives so that you can be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a clip for the men. We probably shouldn't be showing it while there are ladies here as well. Going to give you a bit away. But we felt it's the right thing to do. So, but you can just tell the lady in your life when you do this, I did not get this from the video clip. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so sorry guys, we probably should have had you alone when we did that. But that is to give you a few tips for the future. Okay, so I'm going to give over to Sonika now. She's going to do the first session.
For those of you who don't know me, I know there's quite a few new people here tonight. My name is Sonika. I'm married to this handsome guy here. Sorry, girls. He's taken. We've been married now for 9.5 years. Can you believe it? We're relatively young, but Andre was 23 when we got married. For a guy, that's quite young. But at 19, he was already impatient. That's his side of the story. I don't know if we're going to tell all our stories tonight, but at 19, he said to God, "Lord, I'm waiting. I've been waiting for 19 years for my wife. Where is she?" So we got married when he was 23, I was 24. I'm a year and a half older than he is, that I really like. I always had this thing, you know, I said to God, "Lord, please, 3 years older than I am. Three max." Because I had this thing in me that my husband's going to sit on the stoop, you know, and wanting to just waiting for death or something. And I still want to do things. So I had this thing in me, you know, that my husband can't be too, you know, and this is for me. I know there's many people, I mean, many people happily married with a husband is older, but it's interesting. My mom always said, my sister, I have one sister, three brothers, and she said, my sister is going to marry somebody quite a lot older than she is, and I'm going to get married to somebody relatively my age. And it happened exactly like that. My sister is married to somebody 6 years older than she is, and Andre is a year and a half younger than I am, which, as I say, I really like that. And it's just amazing, you know, for each of us, we're all different. And that is what's so awesome about relationships. Because, you know, what I like is not what Matt is going to like or Carly. Or, you know, we're all different. And that is what's so, it's just so great, the way God designed us and created us. And I'm going to talk about finding, how to find your life partner. And I know some of you are relatively young, but you can store it. You can store it somewhere in your file for the future. But unfortunately, we, you know, marriage and relationships and everything around that is supposed to be awesome and beautiful and exciting. But unfortunately, our role models and often our parents, we don't see happy marriages. Not often. Or we see like marriages who work kind of, but, you know, you think, this is not what I want. You know, even people who stay together for until they die, who don't get divorced, sometimes you look at their marriage and you think, even though they didn't get divorced, this is not what I want for my future. And I can just really say to you that marriage is awesome. It's far beyond what I could have ever imagined it to be. So I just want to say that it's really something to look forward to. But there's a few things, and this is why we want to talk to you and want to give you guidelines, because I think often the reason why we see so many unhappy marriages and families and breakups and people who just get hurt all over the show is because of unwise choices and just ignorance. You know, we don't always know. We don't get proper teaching on how to choose your life partner. What is the right way? How do you deal with all these emotions and all these things inside of you, which is supposed to be there? It's good, it's right, it's normal. To fall in love is very normal. As I say, it's all normal, but we need to learn how to deal with all these emotions, that the way God wants us to deal with that. And I'm primarily, I know maybe all of you do not know God in a very personal way. Maybe you think, you know, Christianity is not for you. I don't know where all of you are at tonight, but I'm primarily going to talk to people who have a relationship with God, who talk to Him, and who want to get his opinion on this topic. Okay, so I'm primarily going to focus on that, but other things that I will say will be generic, so whether you know God, whether you follow him or not, it's applicable to all of us, but primarily I'm gonna focus on people who know God. So I don't have many scriptures, but I want to start off with one scripture in Song of Solomon. Exciting. We have to have one scripture in Song of Solomon at least. It says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. And this is a very interesting scripture, because I think that the majority of hurt in the world today, the majority of broken lives and broken marriages, broken relationships, could be because we have stirred up and awakened love until the appropriate time. Okay. And I want you to just to keep that in mind as I'm talking, because I think we can, if we can find out what is until it pleases, what does it mean? And if we can find out the appropriate time for me, for each of us, to awaken love, to stir up love, we're going to save ourselves so many things that could have been so different in our lives. So this is what I want to talk about. Before I come to the part of how do you know if he or she is the right one. Okay, so there's something really special about being single. And I know for those of you not 20 anymore, you think, oh, really, Sonika, please, don't go that route again. I'm tired of being single, okay? I'm tired. And for those of you who feel that way, you know, There's something that changed forever when you enter into a relationship and it's your husband and you get married. You never again, it's never again just you and God. And it's difficult to explain that to somebody who has this desire to have a partner. And I can understand that some of you are impatient and some of you feel, really, God, have you forgotten me? Yeah, I'm still here, Lord. Have you forgotten me? But there's something so special about just being you and God. Wake up in the morning and it's you and the Lord. Go to bed at night and it's you and God. And I have special memories. I have very, very special memories of just being single. Yeah, I remember working in Stellenbosch. Andre and I studied at the University of Stellenbosch. And I remembered my single times. Not that I was, you know, not interested at all. But I said to myself, I'm not going to settle for anything that's not of God. And it's kind of an attitude that you need to make up your mind that you're not going to settle. But I'm going to come to that now. But I remember just walking in Victoria Street, for those of you who know Stellenbosch, and just, you know, just feeling so happily single. And as I say, I was 20, I was 21, I was 20, well, when did we start dating? When I was 22. So yeah, you think, oh, right, Sonika, easy for you to say at 20, being happily single. But I just want to encourage you, being desperate, unfortunately, is not attractive. It's not attractive. Being so desperate and so, you know, you're just in a place where you are not happy on your own. Unfortunately, that is not, you're not attractive. And it unfortunately could have the opposite effect, that you, in a sense, you slow down the whole process of bringing that person into your life if you are so desperate and not happy on your own. I had a friend at school. She was kind of my idol. And I always said to God, Lord, if I can choose, I want to be like this girl. She was just everything I wanted to be. And she had one boyfriend after the other. And she was popular. And she was a very good public speaker. And she was just everything, I thought. And she served the Lord. And I said, God, if I can choose, I want to be like her. And very interestingly, she went to YWAM after school. I assume most of you know what YWAM is, but she did a YWAM training in Worcester, and then she went to Texas in America to do another school there, and she became a lecturer at the school. She became very in a leadership role in the YWAM in that whole school. But she is a year older than I am. She only got married 3 years ago. She got married at 32. She was single all alive after school until 32. You know, and we said, God, how is this possible? This girl is amazing. How can she not have a man in her life? And we got so worried about her, in a sense. We said, Lord, please give her a husband. Give her the right husband. Because she was traveling and she was, in a sense, very isolated in as a girl in a leadership position in YWAM. And she needed a strong man. She really needed a strong man. And we just said, God, please, please remember her. And it was just so awesome how everything came together. She actually has her first baby now. Everything happened very quickly. They know each other just for a short while, got engaged, got married. She fell pregnant shortly after that. And, you know, and all her fears of being 31, 32, nothing on the horizon was just in 3 years' time. She was married. She has a beautiful baby. And so I just want to encourage you. You know, God is in control. God is in control. You have to believe it. Because the moment we get so desperate, it's very difficult to find the right person. Okay. You're very quiet. Andre's gonna make very nice jokes. Okay, so just hold on until he speaks. And you know what? For me, I remember when I was single, for me, as a Christian girl, the one thing for me that was really attractive in a guy, and Andre will say the same thing because that was what he was looking for in a girl, is somebody who's really in love with God. I know it sounds a bit corny, but for me, that was the most amazing thing. I mean, I made a list. I made a list, and I want to encourage you maybe to do that as well. Not to, now, this is a tick, 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 and now you meet somebody and tick, tick, tick. Oh, no, 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 only 10 out of 20. Sorry for you. Oh, no, 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 only 17 out of 20. Oh, no, 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 sorry. I need 20 out of 20. But so it's not a tick box, but I made a list to get it, in a sense, off my mind. To say, God, this is what I think I want. I give it to you. And the list changed. You know, I couldn't dance. I couldn't dance to save my life. I was, it's a long story, but in any case, I couldn't dance. And I learned, somebody in our friendship group taught me, I'm talking about like soki soki dance, no? Long arm dance for all the English people. I learned in my third year at varsity. A friend of mine taught me, not Andrea, and another friend of mine taught me. And I realized, wow, this is awesome. And I went back to my list. Because I said there, God, my husband mustn't, he should not dance. Because then I'm like going to hold him back and I'm going to be embarrassment to him and everything. I changed it. I said, God, please, I want a man who can dance. So, and Andre is a very good dancer, actually, for those of you who don't know. What? So I want to encourage you just to sometimes to get it off your heart and off your mind, to make a list, to give it to God and say, Lord, I trust you. Because sometimes we think we know ourselves. Sometimes you think you know exactly what you want, but we don't. We forget that God created us and that He actually knows exactly what is going to suit your personality. Don't settle for second best. I've said that. Don't settle for second best because of fear. I think often, especially for a girl, you come to a point where you meet a guy, you don't really necessarily want to get married to him, but you're so fearful that there's going to be nobody else. And you get involved and you actually get married to the person. And it was not the one. You'll be surprised how many married people are doubt whether they got married to the right person. It's quite scary. It's quite scary, and I don't want to say that to scare you, because if you really seek the Lord and do what I'm going to tell you tonight, you're not going to make a mistake. Okay, you don't have to worry about that. But sometimes we settle for second best because we fear. I remember our first show of a formal, you know, just after I learned to dance, and I'm very excited. I'm going to a formal. There was a guy, he asked me to the formal, and I just said, yes, because I thought nobody's going to ask me. So I was just thankful. God, thank you. Somebody asked me to the formal. And because in Stellenbosch, in that era, you know, you had to get asked to go to the formal. And then I was so sad, because after that, Andre asked me as well, and I had to tell him, no, I can't go with you, because, but, you know, for me, it was so typical. I was just so thankful this guy asked me, because I just thought nobody's going to ask me. And sometimes we're in that mode when it comes to our life partner. You think, wow, this guy's interested. Or this girl, I don't know, maybe it's more a girl thing where because the guy needs to make a move. Okay, I'm going to come to that as well. The girl needs to wait. But the guy needs to at least ask her for coffee or something. And sometimes you just get so in the mood, God, is anyone ever going to be interested? And then there comes a situation, and it's not necessarily the one that you're going to spend your life with, but you're so fearful that there's not going to be anyone else. So you settle for that. So don't settle for second best. God knows your taste. He created you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. And just something else I want to say before I get a bit more practical is, you don't have to be perfect to enter into a relationship. You know, sometimes we think, no, the reason why I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend is because I have so many issues. That's nonsense. But, okay, there's a but. We have to learn to be happy, to be content with ourselves. Okay, if you need somebody else to make you happy, if you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend to make life worthwhile or to make you happy, that is the problem. Okay, your issues are not the problem. That's irrelevant. I have still issues. Andre has issues. I know he pretends to be perfect. I know. I'm joking, please. I have issues. Andre has issues. We're going to sort out things in our lives until we die. We're not perfect. So the issues are not the problem. But if you are discontent with yourself, and if you need a girlfriend or a boyfriend to make you happy, that is the problem. Again, I think Andre might say a little bit more about that as well. Okay, so how do you know? Let's get to the practical. And if you have questions, please remember to write it down. I'll give time afterwards also for you to ask questions. How do you know? Before I start, I just also want to say, and this is quite a hectic thing I'm going to say now, but I want you to listen carefully. You can't get involved. I'm talking from a Christian perspective, okay? Christian perspective. Because you don't want to break up. You don't want to hurt somebody. You actually want to get married and live happily ever after, okay? Even though it sounds impossible, but it is possible, but sometimes it sounds impossible. We can't enter into a relationship if there's not at least an intention from your side to get married. And I know maybe for those of you still in high school, this is a very hard thing to hear. I've heard this when I was in grade 11. I've heard this statement that if you have no intention to get married to the person, get out of the relationship. And I'm not saying we talk about marriage, not at all. Okay, when you're in high school, you don't talk about marriage. It's ridiculous. You don't have to. Even if you just start dating, you don't talk about marriage. But if there's absolutely nothing in you that says there might be a possibility that I am going to get married to this person, there's something in my heart. If from a Christian perspective, you can't date that girl. Because then you're playing around. Then you have to wait. You have to be friends. And what I mean by entering into a relationship, you can't start kissing and holding hands and all those things, okay? You can't be like a formal couple. You can be friends, but you have to wait until you have something in your heart that says, at least there's an intention, there's something in you that says, I could marry this girl. Okay, I know this is hard. I know this is hard, but I have to say that because that is the reason why there's so many breakups. And when so many people who break up, people who get hurt, and then after your fourth boyfriend, you don't believe in men anymore. Okay? And that's because you never had the intention to get married to the guy or to the girl. You just said, okay, let's see where it goes. Let's just see. But if you're still in that stage where you feel, oh, let's see where it goes, remain friends. Okay, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. But unfortunately, I have to say that. It saved me many heartaches. Okay, I was in a friendship with a guy at that stage. I was in grade 11. He was out of school already. I was in a friendship with him. But the friendship became it became more than a friendship, okay? Even though we weren't dating or anything, we were talking over the telephone so often. We had a friendship just went beyond a normal friendship. And I had to phone him and say, listen, we have to break this friendship. So I kind of had to break up with him even though we weren't together because I realized I have no intention to get married to this guy. I just knew in my heart I will never marry him. And it saved me so many heartaches. And God showed me I have to wait for the one that He chooses for me. And I think sometimes that is also we slow down the process because we get involved in guys or in girls that's not the right one. And then you need to break up and then it needs to start all over again. Okay, that's very serious, I know, but praise God, we're going to... It will all hopefully make sense to you by the end of the evening. Okay, first of all, if you meet a guy, there must be a natural connection. Okay, very important. There must be a natural connection. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. You must like the guy. Okay? You must like the girl. You must like her. It's good news. It is really good news. We don't have to become so spiritual and, you know... No, our parents said we must get married and I don't even like her. You know, and sometimes we're afraid that would happen, that God would tell us that we must marry a girl. We're not going to like her, Lord. I'm not even going to think she's pretty, God. Oh, and you know, we're so scared about that and it's not the God that we serve. There's going to be a natural connection. You're going to like him. You're going to like her. You know, often when Andre... When he dresses nicely and I think he looks nice, then I'll tell him, you look like the man that I want to marry. You know, sometimes I dream stupid dreams sometimes that he's getting married to another girl or I get married to another guy. I don't know where those dreams come from. And then I cry myself awake. I cry. And she says, what's wrong? What's wrong? She says, no, I dreamt that you're getting married to another girl. And he said, what nonsense are you dreaming? But those are good dreams in a sense because it shows that I actually like my husband. I actually want to be still married to him after almost 10 years. There must be a natural connection. It's good news. It's of God. You're going to like the man, you're going to like the woman for the rest of your life. I know the world says something different. The world says you fall in love and you fall out of love. That's nonsense. Okay? Because the love that God puts in our hearts, He renews every day. Every day, every day, every day. I mean, I have more respect for Andre now than ever before. And I experience that he loves me more than ever before. I'm extremely happy in my marriage, you know, and it's not the kind of love that the world teaches us, but it's a kind of love that God puts in our heart. So there must be a natural connection. Then for those of you who serve God, who have a relationship with God, there must be spiritual confirmation. Okay? Why? Because there are going to come times when you think, did I not make a mistake to get married to this man or to this woman? God, she's driving me crazy. Did I not perhaps make a mistake? Then you need to go back to those spiritual things. For some people, it's a scripture. For some people, it's a prophecy. For some people, it's just an overwhelming peace that surpasses all understanding. For everyone, it's different. Okay, but it's very, very important. If you serve God, you know this, you know all, Proverbs 3 verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. If God is our best friend, we can't not ask His opinion on something that's, you know, you can resign your job, you can change your career, you can move from East London and go live in Johannesburg or Cape Town or wherever. Don't do that. East London is the best. But we can change many things in our lives, but marriage is for good. I know the world says you can just sign divorce papers. Speak to anyone who got divorced. It's not the solution. It's a terrible thing to what God has joined together to rip that apart is a terrible thing. Okay, we can change many things in our lives, but this thing is until death do us part. And this is why you need God's input. You need something from God that tells you, go ahead, my girl. Go ahead, he's your one. It's very important. And I've experienced that God's yes, I want you to listen carefully to this, God's yes is not always so clear, but his no is very clear. Okay, would you agree with that? God's yes is not always so clear. It's still like a step in faith when you enter into a relationship. Okay, but God will do everything from His part to keep you from entering into the wrong relationship. So often what I experience in my own life, His no is very clear. You know that you know that you know no. But God's yes, it takes a little bit of faith and a bit of a risk. Okay, but you need to have something in your heart from the Lord. And we need to hear God's voice as early in the relationship as possible. Or preferably before, not preferably, you have to hear God's voice before you enter into the relationship. Because when you get emotionally involved, it's difficult. Okay, so there must be a natural connection. There must be a spiritual confirmation from the Lord. Friendship is the foundation. Friendship is the foundation. I was involved in a friendship with a guy before I started dating Andre. We did many things together. It was a great guy. Watched the movie together or whatever. But I couldn't talk to him. I felt like a stupid, blonde, boring girl. Whenever I speak to him, thanks, Reese. Okay, this is your, well done, points. I felt so stupid whenever I talked to him. I couldn't be myself around him. We could do things together, okay? So we had a friendship where we could do things together, but not, there wasn't a real friendship. And this is what I found in Andre. This is what I found in him, because I can be myself. I discovered that I can really be myself with him. And it's so important. You must be able to be friends. Okay? A physical attraction is not going to make your marriage last. You must be friends. And by friends, I don't say you gym together and you jog together and you play tennis together. It's not the only requirement to do things together. You must be able to talk. And especially the girl, but also the guy, you must be able to be yourself. Okay, you can't feel stupid all the time. You must be able just to relax and make your funny jokes and not feel stupid, you know? Friendship is the basis. Ask yourself, could I enjoy spending time with this person if we abstain from physical contact? If there's no physical contact, is there anything left in your relationship? Is there a friendship? Is there something that's going to last forever? And I can tell you, in a marriage, our friendship is the most precious thing for me. We're best friends. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Because you're a friend, you know, as I say, physical attraction is going to get you up until a certain point in a relationship. But a friendship is going to stay there. Okay, when you, as jy sout, sakke sout saam opeet. And you build something between you that nobody can take it away from you, that friendship. Does the person inspire you to seek the Lord? I always, you know, when people come to me and they say, Sonika, could this be the one? As one thing I always ask, does she or he inspire you to seek the Lord? Or, you know, since you've met him, why aren't you coming to church? You know, since you've met him, you're not excited about God anymore. Big question mark. Big question mark. But if you can honestly say, no, this man inspires me to seek the Lord, there's a big tick, really. Okay, it's not the only thing you need as confirmation, but it's a big one. If he or she inspires you, if evaluate your life, say for example you've met 6 months ago, did that relationship enhance your relationship with God and encourage you to seek him, or is it drawing you away from the Lord slowly but surely? Okay, that is something you have to ask yourself. Is the person passionate about God? Okay, because in the short term, it's not a crisis, but in the long term, it's a big crisis. Especially for a woman, if you need to get married to a man and he's not passionate about God, it's a terrible marriage to be in. It's hell on earth, because you have to submit. Okay, that's a whole different thing that we're not going to talk about submission or anything like that, but It's a cage. You're locked in a cage when you're married to a man who doesn't serve God or doesn't love God. And you need to pick it up already before you start dating. Is this guy passionate about the Lord? Spend time in a group. Spend time in a group. See how the person treat other people. See how they pray if you're a Christian. See how they pray, see how they serve, see how they connect with other people. Now, I have to say that at the very beginning stage of your relationship, I mean, Andrew and I met each other 19, but 14 years ago. It's quite a long time ago. He's not the same person. I'm not the same person. We've changed a lot. You wouldn't recognize us even if you if you see us. And we're not the same people. So you have to also give the person grace and space to grow. Okay, that's very important. You're not gonna enter into a relationship with a perfect person. That person might still have many things to work through, but there's certain things that must be in place. So if you spend time in a group, you can get to know somebody really well. But the moment you start isolating yourself, you don't always get to know each other that well. You think you do, but you don't really see that person operate among other people. So it's very good to check him out, to check her out, just in a group. Okay, so it's safe. It's very safe. Do not be unequally yoked. It's a big word. Do not be unequally yoked. Now that doesn't mean that both of your favorite color is blue. That doesn't mean unity. Okay? There must be common ground. There must be common ground. Listen to this. I want to read you something. The most healthy marriages are those in which there's a strong foundation of similarities. A strong foundation of similarities in background, temperament, goals, dreams, values, and the way in which individuals manage and order their physical and mental lives. Should I read it again? A strong foundation of similarities. The most healthy marriages are those in which there's a strong foundation of similarities in background, temperament, goals, dreams, values, and the way in which individuals manage and order their physical and mental lives. So if you serve God, you can't start dating a guy who doesn't know the Lord. Okay, I have to say that to you very straight. You can't even consider that. No, but God sent me to help him. No, nonsense. You can pray for him. I've heard it so many times. I had a very good friend at varsity. She had, well, it's actually a different kind of dating that I also want to discourage you even to consider. She had this Mother Teresa kind of dating thing in her. I'm very serious. She dated guys whom she wanted to help. She dated them. They became a couple. She said, "Sonika, I'm helping him." The one guy physically abused her. And she justified by saying to me, "Sonika, he needs me." Okay, so I'm not going to niks omdraai nie, but I'm not going to like say it's all right and pamper you and say you can do that. It's very unwise. No go. You don't even it's stupid. Okay, it's really stupid. No missionary dating. No Mother Teresa dating. And unfortunately, I must say, it's often the girls who go into missionary or Mother Teresa dating. You feel sorry for the guy. You can't feel sorry. And that can't be your motivation to get into a relationship. It's very important. I know you're laughing, but I know many girls, especially girls, who do that. No, but God wants to use me in his life. Nonsense. You're not going to make any difference in a relationship. He needs guys to speak into his life. Okay? He needs a church. He needs a small group. He needs guys to speak into his life. You can pray for him from a distance. From a long distance. Okay, no missionary dating. No Mother Teresa dating. I prayed for a man. I'm almost finished. I prayed for a man. I said to God, "Lord, I want a man who's really involved in church." You know, I didn't know what I was praying for. Said, "God, please, like cell group and Sundays. It's not enough for me. Church was my life, always. I mean, when I was studying, when I was working, people said I'm crazy. I did my honors in accounting. Monday evenings, I had Bible school. Wednesdays, I had small group. Thursday, I had band practice. Friday, we had intercession. And Sunday morning and evening, we had church. It was awesome. I loved it. And I said to myself, if I get married to a man and he's happy with maybe going to church every second Sunday, I'm not going to survive. I don't want to nag him to go to church, God. I want to be there." And for me, that would have been unequally yoked. Okay, for me and Andre. If Andre married somebody who's not interested in church, not interested, but not really excited, We would have been unequally yoked. For you, it might mean something else. Okay? For you, maybe church on a Sunday and small group on a Wednesday are fine. That there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to determine what is really important to you in life. What is really important to you? Okay? And you have to look for somebody with the same values. And, you know, we have no problem with cross-cultural marriages. I mean, our senior pastor in Stellenbosch, Pastor Fred and his soul, Saul's a white woman, Fred's a black man. They're an awesome team. They are really an amazing team. There's so much unity. But let me tell you, they had to work through many cultural differences in their marriage. Okay, so in the whole Shafa group, you'll find many, many cross-cultural relationships and marriages. So that's totally fine with God and with us. But don't, you know, I just came across some people, especially at varsity, you know, they hate the Afrikaans background. They hate their parents. They hate the way they grew up. Now they are like almost this rebellion inside of them that they want to get married to somebody completely different. Okay, do you get what I'm saying? That is dangerous. Okay, and it seems very adventurous, you know, getting married to a Portuguese guy. I've spoken to my sister this afternoon. One of her friends is married to a Portuguese. And she said that the culture, when you go to a different nationality or different country, it's hard. It's very hard. I have a friend even who married, it's an Afrikaans girl, she married to an English guy. You know, and in our environment it feels, I mean, could that be a problem at all? And she said to me, even they had to work through cultural differences. And by that, I'm not saying Afrikaans, English, English, German, you know. Sometimes God does something out of the box, which is completely fine. But don't go and deliberately look for it just because you rebel against who you are and how the way your parents raised you. Andre and I had to work through quite a few things, to be honest. But at a language thing, at a cultural thing, it would have been much harder. There's enough differences between men and women, okay? There's enough differences between a man and a woman you need to deal with, especially in marriage. And it changes people. It changes after you get married. Then it's your husband and it's your wife and you expect things of him and her. Now it's not happening and now the conflict starts. Okay, but it's not... We're going to talk to the married people on Saturday. I'm almost finished. So just check your priorities. Check what is really important to you. Do not be unequally yoked. In the short term, you think, my love is enough for both of us. God, I love him so much, Lord. It's going to be enough forever for both of us. Some people say that. Just be wise. Be wise. Use your brain. Use your brain. It's important. What do your friends and family say? You say, oh, really? My mother knows nothing about relationships. My dad knows nothing. Look at how their marriage looks. It's just interesting for me that my mom always said, I'm going to marry somebody very much my age, and my sister's going to get married to somebody older. Because she said, my sister wants a father figure, somebody who can look after, somebody who's got a job and a salary and everything already in place. My mom said, I just want a buddy. I mean, Andre studied. When we got married, he was still studying. We lived on my salary for a year. That's also a whole different thing. You know, you need to consider when it comes to marriage. But your parents know you. Your parents really know you. What is the opinion of your best friends? Not only your one best friend, who's so not objective, and it just wants you to get married. Not your one best friend. What if you're in a small group? What about your self-facilitator's opinion? Okay, it's very dangerous. If you are in a relationship, you're almost kind of avoiding people because you are so scared that they're going to say, we feel uncomfortable. Think again. Give it time. It's a very dangerous place. Okay, and I'm not saying you need to submit your relationship to the whole world. That's not what I'm saying. But your friends and your family, and if you're in a small group, your self-facilitator. Okay, it's also a good option. Ask the Lord whose opinion should be important. Do not ignore warning signs. Something like abuse, physical, emotional, verbal, sexual abuse, addictions. If you find out from a very early stage that the person is unfaithful to you, already when you're dating, bad sign, very bad sign. These things are the extreme, but do not ignore warning signs. No matter how much you love the guy, how much he needs you, or how much you love the girl, how much she needs you, do not ignore warning signs. And then last point, but Andrea's going to talk about that, time is your friend. And this is maybe probably the most important point. Time is your friend. Time brings clarity. So you can't lose anything by giving it time. If you are meant to be together, you can't lose anything by giving it time. if you are meant, if God has destined you to be together. But you can lose a lot by jumping into a relationship. I wish I had time to tell you my whole story, but maybe another night. Questions? Any questions?